Okay, guys, it is as always my pleasure to introduce Rabbi Sokolovsky. Rabbi Sokolovsky is one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, at Reitz. His shiurim are always excellent and clear. The guys from last year remember when we talked about the Halacha L'maaseh case of Asherah. Everyone, no one can forget that shiur, and it's really. Right, Cohen is also like, no one can forget that shiur. And it's really our pleasure to have Rosolovsky teach us the sugya in Menachos this year. Rosolovsky.
I was trying to think what we possibly have as a follow-up to last year's shiur. So I thought, I don't know, maybe some more recent Ben Sora Moroshiah that we had, a couple of Egra Rufas we were dealing with recently, but none of that unfortunately has panned out. So we're going to have to talk about something I don't want to call boring, but we're going to talk about something hopefully exciting, but I don't know. I'm not sure we could come close to the Ashavers. But we'll see what we can do it anyway. So the Shaila actually was a very real Shaila that not only was posed to me, but I was actually very much involved in. I was literally present at the time. This goes back approximately 12 or 13 years ago. It was actually my first summer in NCSY Caldwell. We were taking a trip up north to the middle of nowhere. I mean, if we would have been in Lebanon, that would have been just fine. I would have known, it could be we were in Lebanon. I'm not really sure where we were. But we were really in the middle of nowhere. And it was a Monday morning, and it was time for davening. And apparently there had been the first group of some of the boys that davened earlier. They were going some one of these wild hikes, you know, these TLM, you know, climbing the mountains that I've well past the age of doing those kinds of things. And some of the guys had davened earlier, and I was going to daven with the rest of the Bacharim a little bit later. And when I walked into the shul for the second minyan, so I was informed that, Rabbi, we got a big problem, that the only one Sefer Torah that's in this place is Puzzle. That's what they discovered during the first Shacharis. And they want to know, what are we supposed to do about that? Well, I said, well, how Puzzle is Puzzle? No, but you're really Puzzle. Well, just tell me how bad it is. Well, I'll open it up and let's see. And believe it or not, there were two letters that were touching. I mean, this wasn't close. This wasn't one of those things, you know, you're bringing a little kit to look. I mean, you know, you didn't even know magnify. I mean, there was just two letters were just literally touching one another. So some of you may have learned the sugya in Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara tells us that there is a halacha that's called Mukaf Gvil. There is a halacha that each and every letter has to be separate and distinct. You cannot have two letters touching one another. And the question becomes, now what do you do? So since there was no professional sofer there, myself included, what could we possibly do to salvage this Sefer Torah without potentially destroying the entire Sefer Torah in the process? So as a non-professional, as a non-sofer, I had to try to rise to the occasion to try to see what could we possibly do to fix this Sefer Torah. My initial reaction was, let's try to find the sofer, to which somebody told me the closest sofer is probably in Yerushalayim. It was about 3.5 hours away, so we're not going to go down that route. Let's see if we can learn through the sugya a little bit. Let's try to understand a little bit what the problem is, what some of the creative solutions are, and how, believe it or not, even you can fix the Sefer Torah for very, very little experience. Please don't try to do it without checking up first, but let's see if we can do that.
We offer a Sophras class, so several of them can actually...
Oh, wow, okay, well, you guys may be able to solve the problem for me. Okay, good. I should have called one of you guys. Well, you weren't even born then. Yeah, okay. All right, let's see if we can learn through this.
That's my job.
So before we figure out how to solve the problem, it's always a good idea to understand what the problem is. So why exactly is this a problem? Why is it that two letters cannot touch? Let's hear from some of the sofrim in training, or even from the non-sofrim in training. Anyone know what the problem is? Why is it that two letters? The Gemara just says it outright. Possible, no problem. The Gemara never explains why.
Is it didn't that should be parchment completely surrounding a letter.
Very good, excellent. The question is, did you really answer the question? You told me the din, right, but I want to know now, why is the halacha that the parchment has to surround the letter?
Because you could say that if they're attached, they're only one letter.
Ooh, that's a very lumdisha answer. That's an unbelievable lumdisha answer. Wow, okay. So I'm going to go down the root of a tosis. Tosis actually in Maseches Gittin tells us that the reason why two letters cannot touch is because the halacha tells us what's called uchsavtam. Now, the word of Saftam is literally referring to mezuzah, but it refers to tefillin as well, and it refers to Sefer Torah as well. And the word of Saftam is actually a little somewhat of a combination of two words, ksiva tama. What does tama mean? Like tomim, it has to be perfect, it has to be whole. The entire writing of each and every letter has to be complete and whole, it has to be perfect, it has to really look right. And if you have two letters that are touching one another, that is a chisaron, that is a deficiency in ksiva tama. Does anybody know any other halachas that also emanate from this halacha that a letter has to be perfect? Each and every letter of the Sefer Torah, each and every letter of the Tefillah has to be absolutely perfect. Anyone know? Anyone ever been in shul once in a while where the Bakare, it's the last thing you want to see happen in shul. Bakare is learning, you know, and he stops dead in his tracks, and then he calls the rabbi. Oh, it's like the call to the bullpen, right? They bring the rabbi in, and the rabbi, this, let me act out what usually happens. The rabbi takes off his glasses, looks down a little bit, stretches his beard if he has one a little bit, and you know, kahena v'kahena, and has to decide whether the letter is kosher or not. What does the rabbi very often do at that point? Anyone know?
Call
the little kid, about 6-7 years old or so, and the kid has to try to discern, is this letter perfect or not? Does this letter look like a vav? Does it look like a yud? If you think about it, does it look like a beis? Does it look like a chaf? Does it look like a resh? Does it look like a dalet? A lot of letters can go either way. So you have to, halacha says, you have to have a little kid who knows how to read, but not so perfect. He has to be the one to actually decide whether the letter is kosher or not. So all of these halachas are all derived from the phrase ksiva tama. It has to be a perfect, perfect writing. So I'll tell you a fascinating story that happened to me when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I was, playing ball or something, you know, just hanging out, doing whatever I like to do at that time. And we get a call from, we had a rabbi in a shul lived next door to us. And he says, tells my mother, send him over, we need him right away for something very important. So my mother had no idea what he needed for, but all I remember is that I had to put on a white shirt. I was like, I was going to play ball, so I'm going to have him because I get the rabbi calling to come to the house. So I put on a white shirt and I went there, and I had absolutely no idea what was fun. Mom had no idea what was going on. And then, the only thing I remember, and I realized years later what it was, I remember there was a man who was sitting next to the rabbi, and there was a woman who was sitting next to the rebbetzin. And there were a couple of other people around. There was a sofa there, and there was a big piece of paper. And they asked me to read a certain letter. Was that letter good? Later on, I realized it was a gift. And the Haltosa says that the same way, when you have a question of the Sefer Torah, you bring in a child. When you have a question about the validity of a letter, you bring in a child as well. And I remember they asked me, what does that letter look like to you? I must have said the right thing, because everyone gave like a sigh of relief. Thanks so much. Give me a candy or something and sent me off to my way. So I always say that was the first time I passed the Shana was getting at the age, ripe old age, 6 years old. Anyway, getting back to that story. So we have two letters that are... We have two letters that are touching one another. So clearly puzzle. Tosus claims the reason it's the lack of Tzivat Tama. Maybe others disagree with Tosus, but Labai said the bottom line is this Tzivat Torah is puzzle min HaTorah. If it would be Tfilah, it would be Mezuzah, it would be puzzle min HaTorah. So we have a big problem. How do you solve that problem, person? What's the easiest, simplest way in the world to solve that problem? What would you do?
Well, if you could, like, scratch it out a little bit.
Yeah, what's the big deal? Take a little key out of your pocket or something. Take a little razor blade, take a little scissors or something. And give it a little scratch and call it a day. Turn Baruch Hashem, the same turns back in business. What's the problem? Who will the Messiah get getting?
You can scratch away.
Ooh, very good. Gemara says Maseches Gittin, and as we said before, many of the halachas of writing carry over from Gittin to Sefer Torah. It says the Torah, v'chosav lo sefer krisos. You have to write or get. V'chosav lo, remember that phrase? V'chosav lo, v'chokach. What does chokach mean? Chokach means to carve, to engrave. So let's say, for example, I'm a sofer, I'm writing a get, I'm writing Sefer Torah, it's filled with mezuzahs, and I'm about to write the letter Yud. And a little bit of the ink spills and makes a big blob. I'm a little bit low on ink, so I figure, you know what, let me save some money. Instead of wiping off all the ink and starting over again, what do I do? Very, very simple. I need to turn a blob into a yud.
Just
erase a little bit, move a little bit of the ink, scrape away some of the ink on this side, scrape away some of the ink on the bottom, scrape on this side. And lo and behold, through scraping away the ink, I can form a kosher yud. Bad move. Because that yud is possible. Because that yud wasn't written. That yud was chakuk. It was v'chokak, and it wasn't v'chosav. And therefore, that entire Sefer Torah, filling the zoza, get, the womb's the nation, this yaraisa, mosinov, it's disaster. It's a world disaster. Why? Because you didn't write the get, you didn't write the Sefer Torah, you were chaykek the letter of the Sefer Torah. So now we have a very, very long discussion. Here, the letter's there already. I have two letters, Beis and Reish, the Breishis, they're touching one another. and I want to be machshir the Sefer Torah by being chokek between the letters. I want to separate between the letters by scratching away, and I want to know, Rabbi, what's the din? Is that the equivalent of what the Gemara calls chak tochos? I formed a letter by scratching. Or do I say no? I didn't form a letter by scratching. Why? Who's going to explain to me what's the difference between these two cases? What's the difference between the blob of ink that I turned into a yun and the two letters that are touching? What's the difference?
The letter was already there when you scratched.
The letters are there. Then. The base is in itself okay. The resh is in and of itself okay. The two kosher letters, the only quirk is, the problem is, the two kosher letters are touching one another. So maybe the din of chak tochos, the kosher of a chakot, means you can't form a letter through scrape, through grave, through engraving, through carving away. But here I'm not forming the letter, I'm simply being machshir to otherwise independent kosher letters that are touching. That's perfectly okay. That's fine. That's no problem. That's actually very, very simple. So by side, answering that question is going to make all the difference in the world practically for us. Why? Here I'm up there in the north somewhere, 3 minutes away from Lebanon. I have a Sefer Torah, and I want to know, am I allowed to simply take out a scissors, take out a razor blade, take out something, and just make a little scratch between the two letters? Tiny, it has to be kechut asara, like a thread between the two, and that's good enough, and even I can do that. You don't have to be so professional to do that. But what would the halacha be if that's not acceptable? What would you say I have to do if that's not an option? What would my other option have to be? If somehow you didn't tell me that's called chak tochos, that's possible. Is that called the chokach? Is that called the kosav? What would my other option be, Rabbi Sai? I would have to either pass the Torah or raise what?
The letter.
The column. I'd
have to raise
all the letters after that because you can't write in order. No.
Ooh, whoa. That would be a very expensive proposition, right? Okay. So I would at least have to erase those two letters. So the letters are puzzle. And I would have to start over again. I wouldn't have a clue. Some of you guys can do that. I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know how to write a letter. I know how to erase a little line between two letters, but I have no idea how to write a letter in a second term. And therefore, if the halacha is that this is called chak tochos, we are in big trouble. If the halacha is that this is not called chak tochos, because the letters are kosher in themselves, then I'm good to go. So what's the answer to that? So who saw some of the makaros? Who saw the Gemara Masechta Shabbos? You want a chance to be on Shabbos? Let's talk for a moment about the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos is not even talking about Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos. It's talking about the Malach of writing on Shabbos. Now, let it write on Shabbos, let it lament as Malachos. How many letters do you have to write in order to be Chayav?
Two.
Well, listen to this one. This guy's a real, he's a Lamda. He's a real Michal Shabbos with Lamdas. He's got to really, really like this guy, okay? You know, he could have driven in his car for this, but no, he's got to really do it this way. He's got a letter, and the letter is a Ches. Anyone ever see what a Ches looks like? Is it
Two Zions.
Two Zions with a little Shmitchik on top, okay? A little crown on top. Anyone ever see a Chesidish Sefer Torah? Ksav Ari, and one of them see Ksav Ari. Oh, okay. So there are actually two different traditions in Christ about what the Ches looks like. The what's called Ksav Yosef has it as two Zions with a little crown on top, and the Ksav Ari Kodesh, which many Chesidim use, has a Zion and a Vav with a crown on top. Anyone know the reason for that difference? I wasn't expecting because I have no clue. This is a very, very big mess. They're just like one of those, you know, those things they tell you about in the cemetery and Tzvat kind of things. Like, this is not for us.
What does that physically look like? What's the difference?
Oh, it's I mean,
you tell me, but well, Zion is not the same as above. Zion is a square atop of the line. Going down above is rounded, curved, with above. I mean, if you didn't know what you were looking for, you wouldn't notice the difference.
So the Ches would have the, like, a little line in the middle?
Well, the Ches has blackboard here, but
yeah.
The Ches has blackboard.
Well, not blackboard.
Just
bring it over.
Well, there we go. I wouldn't even expect this one.
Whiteboard.
Hey, you know, I'll go ahead. Then you bring it to me here.
Blackboards matter.
Picture worth a thousand words. Okay?
Yeah.
So this is what's called the South Bishy, I say. Okay, there you go. Okay, so this is, and the other one is something more like this.
English version.
and notice the difference. This is two squared, and this is square and curved, right? Now, next time you get an Aliyah, take a peek, take a look and see. But anyway, the other way to test, to know very, very quickly whether you have Beis Yosef or Ari, whether the Sefer Torah is Kesisha or not. So we know the quick way to know. Take a look at the Tzadi, right? Beis Yosef Tzadi, I'm not such a great sofer over here as you can tell, but it's like this. And Ari's Tzadi, it's really not going to help well. It's like that. Okay, whether this thing in the back is facing forward, whether this thing in the back is facing backwards. Okay, anyone know why that difference is? Well, this is like some deep esoteric Kabbalah or something around. I know nothing about
it.
No idea why, okay? So again, this is like from the depths of the world of Kabbalah, we're not going to talk about that. Okay, everybody, let's get back to that story. So, a person goes out on Shabbos and takes the scissors and makes a little snip and separates between the two Zions. Guess what? You know what he's chayav for? He's chayav for writing on Shabbos. You know why? He just wrote how many letters? Two letters. He just Ramesh wrote two letters. Comes to Rishayim and asks the Kasha. Comes to Rashi and asks the question. Why is he chayav all together on Shabbos? That's not called writing. What is that called?
Erasing.
That's called chak. The chokak. That's not a way of writing in halacha. That's simply removing something. If you would do that in the Sefer Torah, wouldn't it be possible? That's not called a writing of a get. That's not called a writing of the Sefer Torah. So why is that called a writing for the purpose of a Shabbos? So you know what the Rashba says? The Rashba says, no. That would be called writing for Sefer Torah purposes. That would be writing for getting purposes. Why? The Rashba says that the psul of a chokak is only when the entire letter is formed in that way. But here, the letters basically are here. The Zion is really here. The other Zion is really here. There's a little bit of something that's connecting that. You're just separating between two existing letters. Big deal. Says the Rashba, that's not considered to be bechokak. That's not a psul of what we call chaktos. Comes the Ran and says, I don't understand the kasha in the first place. Who's going to explain to me why they don't understand the kasha? That's where the Chaz percent. The Rashba's kasha was, if it's possible for Gittin, and it's possible for Sefer Torah, so you're not chayav for Shabbos. That was his assumption. What do you think the Rav would argue with and say?
Is there a separate issur of erasing on Shabbos?
Oh, so erasing is there, right? But here the Gemara seems to say chayav mishum kosev. What would the response be? What do you think the Rav's response would be to this kasha?
And the styles of the writing, what's required for writing for a Sefer Torah is much stricter than
Shabbos. That's different. The standards are different. The definition of kosev in Hilchos Sefer Torah is not identical to the definition of kosev in Hilchos Shabbos. So just because chak tochos doesn't qualify as kosev in one area of halacha, why do you automatically think that it doesn't qualify in other areas of halacha? But Rabosai, what do we see from here, from this Rashba? That not all erasing is automatically not called kosev. If the letter is basically fundamentally there, that would be okay. And others question this. So the halacha l'maisa, the post can point out, is a big machlekes in Mishnah. Bottom line, going back to our case, let's say you have, let's think of a word, think of the first one of the word, embracious. Right? So you have your bays. And the Beis was written. Alright, here's your Beis, and here's your Reish. And the Reish is touching a little bit to the Beis. So come, Sefer Shonim, and say, no big deal. Just take a little thing and just scratch away. And that's not called Chaktachos. And come, other Rishonim, and say, you can't do that. That is called Chaktachos. And therefore, you'd have to erase the whole Reish, erase the whole Beis, and start over. How do we positive Halacha Mishnah? So comes the Shulchan Aruch in his tefillin and Paskin's Lakula on the Shabbos. Quotes a Rosh that says that if you have two letters that are touching, all you want to do is just take the razor blade and separate between the two. That's perfectly okay, no problem, nothing wrong. You don't have to worry about Chaktachos. Sounds like we're good to go. So I'm standing there, all ready to roll, up there in the north, taking out my scissors, about to separate between the letters. And then all of a sudden, I remember, there's the Mishnah Berurah. the Mishnah Berura in the Sefer Bir Halacha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch points out the following: that this is a machlokes of Rishonim. There's no question that it's machlokes of Rishonim, whether this is kosher or not. Why do you think the Shulchan Aruch was so makel of Hilchos Tefillah? Can anyone tell me why? What prompted the Shulchan Aruch to be makel? It's not so simple. Not all Rishonim agreed to this idea. Why do you think the Mishnah Berura was willing to be makel? What would the other option be? Let's go back to what was mentioned before. Imagine that you didn't have the option of just cutting between the two. What would you have to do?
Well,
at first glance, we said, no problem. You just erase the entire letter, letters and start over again. Who's got a problem?
Well, no.
Oh, boom.
It's going
to have to be what?
Have
to be Kassidron. Tefillin and mezuzah is a special look of a hoyu. It has to be Kassidron. That's why if you find a mistake in your tefillin, if it's a really, really, really small, negligible mistake, sometimes can be fixed up, but most of the time can't be fixed. Because tefillin and mezuzahs have to be considered. So therefore, if you would disqualify this act of just simply separating between the two of the scissors, you would otherwise be forced to erase and rewrite. That would be tantamount to taking four parashas of tefillin and putting it with the shemus. It means there would be no way to salvage this. It would be a big problem. Comes the Mishnah Berura and quotes some Acharonim who say the following, who say that when it comes to tefillin and when it comes to mezuzahs, when you don't have another choice, there is no other option, so we have to remake it. We have no choice. We have to let you do the scratching and accept it. But where's the what? I said, by what?
Sefer
Torah. You have another option. By Sefer Torah, the halacha is you don't need Kisidur. And therefore, by Sefer Torah, you have a much better option that would be good according to all opinions. Simply erase both letters and start over again. So Mishnah Berura quotes a lot of Acharonim and say, wait a second, not so simple. You shouldn't be making so fast. Not so partial. By tefillin and mezuzahs, never your hands are tied, you're stuck. You have another option. But by Sefer Torah, you have a better option. So as I'm standing there, all eyes are on me. I'm standing there with my scissors. And I'm saying, well, listen, Rabbi, say, here's the Shiloh. We have a machlekes every Shiloh, whether I'm allowed to just scratch away a little bit. And although the Shulchan Aruch passes the Kula, the Mishnah Berura stops him and says, not so simple. Maybe my Sefer Torah should be more machlekes. What do you think I did? What would you have done? I scratched it. I'll tell you why. I had no other option. There was no other choice. There wasn't a soul around who knew how to fix the Sefer Torah. And if I wouldn't have fixed it, then there would have just been a pulse Sefer Torah around for probably for the last 12 years. How could anyone remember to fix it? And therefore, I thought that we could rely the same way the Shulchan Aruch is willing to rely on most of the Rishonim who hold that's not called Chaktochus, because the letter is basically there already. So even though it's a Sefer Torah, we theoretically have another option, but Lamaisa practically, we don't have another option. So what we call, this is the concept of Halacha Shas HaTchak, under very extenuating circumstances, we have a right to rely on the Iker Adin, following the Tzach of the Shulchan Aruch, and it would be okay. The Shulchan Aruch, technically speaking, would be okay with this. I didn't feel so bad because it happened to be a Sfardi Sefer Torah. And the Sfardi Sefer Torah is not Mechuyuf to the Mishnah Berura's Chumras, Ashkenaz Chumras. So the Sfardi Sefer Torah could follow the Shulchan Aruch Shittas. I felt a little bit better about that. And I figured also, no one's ever going to know about this. No one's ever going to find out. No one's going to ever question. So Machlokes is a Shiloh. This place in the middle of boonies of boonies. Years later, I saw there was a Pesach program that was actually taking place in this particular Moshav. I was wondering, gee, by golly, they must be using my Sefer Torah. I wonder if anyone knows that, of course, the Mishnah Berura is possible. Okay, show off the record. But anyway, I think we can remake on that. Mikra didn't say Joseph. The boss, I want to share with you now almost an opposite Shiloh that happened. Also, a strange Hilchos Sefer Torah Shiloh.
Okay, with the Sefer Torah that you had, would you say, and it sounds like you paskin to not do anything with it further, and that you wouldn't say that you should then, at a later time, then go take it to a Sofer to rewrite it?
In theory, if there would be anybody responsible there to do that, but this was in the boonies of the boonies. There was nobody around who was going to take responsibility. I wasn't going to take a Sefer Torah with me.
Okay.
So it was one of those things I really had no choice. We had to rely on the Shulchan Aruch. So it's okay. Not a bad person to rely on if you stop. Okay. But I'll share with you another story. Two actually stories that really one of the same. This goes back before the story. This goes back about, you would think, about 20 years ago. I was in California for the summer. I used to spend my summers there before my days in Ancestor Wakolo. I was at a shul. I was supposed to give some shiur in one of the shuls in L.A. And I remember it was Parshas Pinchas. I'll tell you in a minute why I remember Parshas Pinchas. In the middle of laning, and all of a sudden what I just described before happens. You know that scene, you know, where the Valkyrie stops, calls over the rabbi, so the rabbi motions for me to take a look, give a second opinion. What do I think about this letter? What was the problem? The letter? What?
The vav was cut.
Yeah, very good. Okay, good. The vav was cut. But it wasn't your vav that was cut. It was a vav that was cut. So my initial reaction was, oh, the vav's cut. Oh, come on. Every kid knows that. The vav in the beginning of Pasuk is supposed to be cut. As B.C. Shalom, we have a tradition he's supposed to make a cut, but it wasn't that vav. It was like the next vav or something. The next the sofa was a little bit sleepy. We made the wrong vav cut. So the question was as follows. Here we had a vav. Alright, we had our vav over here, and there's a little bit of a... That's all we have. And a little bit of a slit in the vav. What do you do about that? Is that letter kosher? So your initial reaction would be, well, no problem, let's call over a kid and see what he thinks about it. If the kid reads it as a vav, everything's great. If the kid can't read it as a vav, then we have a problem, right? So what do you think about that? Not so simple. Why is it not so simple? What's the problem with just pulling the kid and calling it over?
I was assuming the kid thing was more if the letter's misshapen. It's just missing a piece of it, but it's small enough that you can imagine it's there.
Beautiful, very good, excellent. So generally speaking, the kid test is for letters that look one like another. Like, let's say, for example, someone would have written a short vav. So a short vav could potentially be mistaken to be a yud. Well, let's say he wrote a short zayin, a long zayin, could look like a nun sofit or something. Beis is filled by chavs, reish is filled by dal, those kinds of things. Here, it's not that the letter looks like anybody can see that. No question that's a vav. The real question is, but it's not one piece. It's not one whole. Is that a problem, halacha? Is there a halacha that every single letter has to be one unit, has to be one goof? Or there's no such halacha? Doesn't say it anywhere. So it's interesting, there are actually two letters out there that are actually not one goof. What are those?
Yeah, kuvos.
Kufs and the hays, right? The Gemara said, Menachas. The kufs and the hays are dafka not one goof. But the assumption is that all other letters are one goof. There's a big question in Rishonim. Is that ma'akit? That there's a halacha in Hilchos Sofros that a letter has to be one unit in a sense, but there's no such halacha. As long as it doesn't look like another letter, so then we can just kind of close our eyes, make believe, and it reads like a vav, looks like a vav. So what's the din? What is that halacha? So this is a major, major machlokes this Rishonim. So I'll tell you a secret on this one. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's a problem. Most of the poskim seem to hold, the later poskim seem to hold that it's a problem, that a letter has to be halachically one unit. Sounds we're in trouble, right? So we're in Sefer Torah. Not so fast. Let's talk about a really basic, fundamental question about the limits of Menachos. So it's like the ABCs. Don't put it there, the elephants. On both sides. If you have a pair of tefillin that's missing a letter, what's the status of those tefillin? What does the Mishnah say? Possum in HaTorah B'lishum Sofer. Mezuzah is missing a letter, Possum in HaTorah B'lishum Sofer. Sefer Torah missing a letter, Possum in HaTorah B'lishum Sofer. What does that mean? What are the ramifications of that statement? I say, the Torah is puzzle. Tell me, who cares? Is that big deal? I say, the Torah is puzzle.
You can't use it for any...
You can't use it for any what?
For any halachic purpose.
Any halachic purpose. That's what I would have said, right? The same way I have a tefillin that's missing a letter, I can't use it for the halachic purpose of the mitzvah tefillin. Right. Mezuzah is missing a letter, I can't use it to put a mezuzah on the doorpost. Say, the Torah is missing a letter, I can't use it, right? Well, what do I use the Sefer Torah for? Kriya Satorah. Anyone see potential difference between?
You might be able to
read
Kriya Satorah as much.
You don't read the Tefillin.
The mitzvah of Anochas Tefillin is a mitzvah in Torah. The mitzvah of Mezuzah is a mitzvah in Torah. The mitzvah of Kriya Satorah is a mitzvah.
Leave it
at Torah. I can learn out of Gemara also, right? So what am I using this Sefer Torah for in Torah? If I say Moshe Rabbeinu, tell me, what am I supposed to do with this Sefer Torah? So. Oh, yeah, 10 steps ahead. So Kriya Satorah is the Pashas Derabbanan. maybe there's some kind of deraisa, Ramban or a Torah, maybe there's some kind of deraisa, possibly Shabbos and Yom, maybe
a Malik or something.
Maybe Parshat Zohar, maybe it gets stretched a little bit, maybe powerful good luck, maybe we can come up with a few. But bottom line is, tomorrow morning, the Gidolain, Parshas Vayera, the reading of Parshas Vayera on Monday morning is only a mitzvah to Rabban. If so, maybe one can argue that to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Torah, maybe you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. It kind of looks like a Sefer Torah. You're pretty close. 90% of it looks like a Sefer Torah. Missing a few letters here and there. What's the big deal? So this is the big machlokes of Rishonim. Some Rishonim would say that you only need tefillin to be kosher, mezuzah to be kosher, a Sefer Torah to be kosher if you're reading Hakel, or
Zohar.
Maybe Parsha Zohar, or maybe what else would a person want the kosher Sefer Torah for? What other possible reason could a person maybe want a kosher Sefer Torah?
Saying a bracha.
What reason in had Torah?
To write a Sefer Torah.
Oh, to mitzvah write a Sefer Torah. That's a good one. So I have to have a cheft of a kosher Sefer Torah. So those are good reasons in the Nat Torah. But just to merely have a Sefer Torah to be able to lay on a Monday morning, Parshas Vayera, what's the big deal? It's not so important. It's only Derabon anyway. So this is a major, major machlokes Sefer Torah. Anyone have any idea who this machlokes is between?
The Rambam
and the... It's a real tricky one. It's a super duper tricky one. It's a machlokes between the Rambam and the...
Rambam.
Yeah. That's right. It's a machlokes in the Rambam. What do I mean by that?
That's
really, yeah. Seems to contradict.
No,
you learned a little bit.
No, I'm just guessing.
A good guess. Okay. It's actually, seems to be a contradiction in the Rambam and Mishnah Torah and the Rambam and the Tshuva. The Rambam and the Tshuva, so Rambam says that you don't really need a kosher Sefer Torah to lay in front of the Rambam anyway. As long as it's basically give or take a Sefer Torah. And the Rambam and Mishnah Torah writes, if it's not kosher 100,000,000%, you can't lay it. A major, major machlokes in Rishon. How do we pass in halacha? Anyone know the answer to that question? Like, good guess, like the Rambam. Right. I don't want to guess which Rambam we pass in like. This is a really, really tough one.
Mishnah Torah.
No.
Mm. At the Tshuva.
Whichever one was written later in his life.
Okay, so the answer is we pass like both.
Oh, man.
How? Well, at least we got the Rambam, right? Okay, how could we possibly do that? So the answer is that we paskin under normal circumstances, like what it says in the Mishnah Torah and the Rambam, we do not take out a Sefer Torah at the lane if there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. We know there's a letter missing, we will not, cannot justify taking out the Sefer Torah at the lane, make brachas on, you can't do that. However, in our back pocket, we always know that someone who reads us in the Rambam, the Rambam and the Tshuva disagrees, and the Rambam Yishan Muhammad, the Rambam, she wasn't just Rambam and Tshuva. And therefore, under certain extenuating circumstances, we're going to fall back on that Rambam. Can somebody give me an example of an extenuating circumstance where we would really, really like to fall back on that Rambam's Tshuva?
Maybe like your Kuni case.
The Kuni case.
Or Mitzvah?
A Mitzvah. If I did the following description, okay? It's Parshas Vayakev Pekudei. All right? We've been sitting and listening to Leini for an hour and a half. All right? And the Bakur gets like to the last pasuk, and then they find a what? They find a mistake. So if you follow the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, and you need a kosher Sefer Torah to be able to your Leini, what do you have to do?
Start off.
You got to start all over again. Seven more Leahs, back to Vayakev, start from scratch. But according to the Rambam and the Tshuva, no big deal. Just finish up the call of the day. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Hilchos Kriyas Torah that our practice is as follows. Whatever you lain up until that point, b'dieved is okay. You can rely on the fact what happened, what was, and you don't have to go back to repeat. But from here on in, what should you do? Put it away and take a new Kosh Sefer Torah and start over again from that point. And then it gets very, very tricky if you're in the middle of Aliyah. Do you make a bracha? Do you not make a bracha? Do you stop right then and you're dead? That's already a lum de shishana, maybe another time, another place. But basically, we paskin that vis-a-vis b'dieved, whatever happened already, it happened. And we're going to say you don't have to go back. But from going forward, the chachila, then you have to make sure that the Sefer is in fact kosher. So the answer is, do we paskin like the Rambam, the Tshuva, the Rambam, the Shadorah? A little bit of a combination of both. The Shulchan Aruch says that this particular psak he received from his Rebbe. Anyone know who the Rebbe of the Shulchan Aruch was? Anyone been at Tzfat recently? And when davened in the Kalbach and the Beirav Shul? No? Okay, so Yaakov Beirav was the Rebbe of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think he davened Kalbach in the 1500s, but he was the Rebbe of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that he heard this tradition from his Rebbe. And that was the Psach. Somebody told me once that we had a Shabbaton in Tzfat, and they won the shuls in Tzfat, and they found a mistake in the Torah, and they said that the Minigan Tzfat is to go back to the beginning. The Minigan Tzfat, that was what this whole Psach came from, was Tzfat. I don't know if they were supposed to be talking about. The Minigan Tzfat and the Minigan the rest of the world is most people assume that you just whatever happened, happened and finished. Just as an aside, before we go back to our Shaila, can anybody guess, what if you find a mistake in a Kriyas HaTorah that's a D'oraisa to Kriyas HaTorah? In the middle of Hakel and you find a mistake, what would you do?
Go back.
What if in the middle of Parshas Zohar and you find a mistake, what would you do?
Go back.
What if in the middle of Parshas Parah and you found a mistake?
It's not
a
good
Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and the Gros, Parshas Parah, the Rais, and not my such a high happened in Yeshiva University. After coming to Wayu, and you could also pass the Shalos and Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas Parah. It happened in the Wayu, Spanish, about sometime between 25 to 30 years ago, give or take a year or so. Relating Parshas Parah, and believe it or not, there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah. And the Shaila was, should we start the whole lading over again? Or just finish off the next 3-4 psukim or so in the new Sefer Torah? And the place went wild, went bananas. Half the guys were screaming, they're ISIS, you have to go back, there's a hakel, and another said, nah, we don't pass them, let's shove it off, it's a grow, we pass the parshpars, they're all fun, and just go. So I remember at the time, so I think they did not go back, and some people were very, very disappointed. What? Come on, it's once a year, big deal, take it 3 minutes to go back, you gotta go back. Right now, they're screaming. Some guys made a breakaway, Pasha's Parah meeting in the other side room. It was why you at its best. Okay, so Rabbi said, back to that story. So, we have a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so we're not gonna continue with it. That's for sure. We stop and figure out how to end and start with the new Sefer Torah. However, come the Poskim and say, when do we say that we're not going to lane with the continual laning? That's only something that's possible. What? According to what? According to all opinions. If there are some legitimate opinions out there who say that the Sefer Torah is kosher the way it is, even though we don't want to follow that view, but vis-a-vis Kriyas HaTorah, we have, what do we call that? Almost like a double what?
It's
a double down. Fake. Maybe the Sefer Torah is kosher, and maybe it's possible. And even if it's possible, maybe the who's right?
The Rambam.
Which Rambam?
The
Teshuva is right that maybe you can lay with a false Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier Achron would say that bottom line is we will stop laning if and when we're convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have to stop. But if there's any machlok, is any real legitimate sheet that holds that's kosher the way it is, we'll continue, we'll let you lay. That's why I didn't feel so bad about that Sefer Torah up in the north either, because where the Shulchan Aruch was kosher anyway, so Mishka fell. But back to that story. So now, I'm in the shul in LA, and there's a vav, there's a little stash in the middle. It doesn't look like a yud. Any kid, any adult, anyone can tell it's a vav. On the other hand, many, many folks can say it has to be a guf echad. So it's possible. The others will say that it's okay the way it is. It's an eerie. It says it's kosher the way it is. So what do we do? What do you think I told them to do?
Continue lighting,
I waved them on. Afterwards, the rabbi said, whatever, how'd you let us continue? Like, what was your thought? I said, I'm explaining to you. There is a machlokes, have you shown him whether a letter has to be one unit or not? Even though most folks can say it probably does, but there's one opinion that says it's okay. And since Kriyas HaTorah anyway is a suffix, maybe the Rambam and the Tshuva is right. So there's a psak, both from Moshe Feinstein and from Yaakov Kamenetsky about this very case. Both two Gedolei Olam from America from the last generation, both concurred, both agreed that if this is the problem, although many, many, many folks can say it's the problem, that we wouldn't really want to take out a Sefer Torah that has letters scrapped. We're trying to get it fixed afterwards. Obviously, it was a Shabbos, and no one's going to fix these letters. We want to be chayav of kosher on Shabbos. So if you just continue, if it happens in the middle of lining, just continue the lining to let this finish. So interesting Shiloh. Hopefully, you found an interesting Shiloh. I'll tell you the scary part about the Shiloh. It's a little spooky part about the Shiloh. You know, letters in the Sefer Torah are very spooky. Well, above Zion's, you know. That Shabbos, I remember the Pashas Pinchas, because my initial reaction was that it's probably above Ketiyah, that the guy made a mistake on me. No, it wasn't. That Shabbos, I was in LA for Shabbos, But I had already had been in Rav in New Jersey, but at the time, not the way I am now, I'm a Rav in Bergenfield. But at the time, I had been in Rav in Paramus, New Jersey, for a couple of years. So that particular Shabbos, that I was away for a couple of weeks in the summer. So I had one of my young colleagues, Tamidim, who was substituting me. He was contributing as a rabbi in my shul that that Shabbos. So here I'm in L.A., he's in Paramus, New Jersey. After Shabbos is over, went to Shabbos Sunday morning, I called him, I said to him, how did Shabbos go? You know, everything went smooth, no problems. He said, everything was good, Baruch Hashem, wonderful Shabbos. There was one snag. What was the snag?
So
there was a problem in the Sefer Torah. I said, you got to be kidding. So what was it? He said, it was a vav that had a little crack in it. And not the vav ketiyah. The vav had a little crack in it. And I figure out, decide what to do. So I have my brother. What did you tell them? So he said, well, I paskin that since it's a machlokes, because we showed him where the letters kosher the way it is. And the Chumash Rambam says he could lay in, trained the Talmidim well, that could you not, it's really happened. It's an exact thing. And Rav Moshe Yaakov said that this is all okay because Mikra Nimes and Lam is a Shonim. Therefore, I paskin that they continue to lay in with that Sefer Torah. Now, when I came back to Paramus, I informed my Balabat, I was like shocked, like talk. Came back, I told my Balabatim, I said, I just want you to know, I went on vacation, but I think if you went on the way, I paskin the Shiloh for you 3,000 miles away. Now, the truth is, based on the time zones, actually, he paskin the Shiloh before I did, but no one's counting. But now that was spooky. It would have been, I was scared as anything to ask the next question. What would have been the next question? If that would happen, we would have written up as like some, you know, a mystical Gullah book and call it a day. What would have been the next question to ask? Was it the same exact letter in the same word? The answer was no. Sorry, it wasn't. It would have been really, it would have been just too good to believe, it, too good to be true. But it was still close enough, still not good. Okay, if I say. We spoke a little bit about halacha. You guys are expecting like some balmokas. You know how this is like. Rabbi would say, oh, who spoke here? Rabbi Sobolowski spoke. Rabbi Sobolowski? He's at Misnagid from YU. He's telling me about Xavaris and Xavaris. He's telling me about Buddha stories, mystical mice, little stories. Yeah. That was another side to them. Okay. Rabbi Sag, I want to share just a little bit of machshava, a little bit related to some things we're talking about. The learning of Sefer Menachos, the figures of writing, the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the writing letters in the Sefer Torah. Cheer you. Let me stop and ask yourself a question. I have a Sefer Torah, and 99.99999% of the Sefer Torah is kosher. And there's one letter, and even that one letter, it's so minuscule. If you look at it, it looks the six-year-old kid thinks it's a vav, it's really a yod. I mean, come on, I mean, really. Well, every letter's there, and you're touching mamish like that teeny weeny weeny. Don't see if that's possible. I'll leave you out there, Rama. You can't read it out, though. You're not getting to see the Sefer Torah. The whole thing is possible to vault. I mean, come on. Give me a break. We bust a barove. I mean, come on, most of it's okay. What's the big deal? You're missing a letter here and there. Makes matters even worse. It's missing a letter in a word. That, and please don't misquote me in this one. It's not so important anyway. It's not so important about it. I'll tell you what the word is. It's not like a word, Shema Yisrael, Anoche Hashem Elokecha, you know, Bereishis Bara Elokim, it's nothing like that. You know what the word is? It's the very end of Parshas Vayishlach. One of Esav's, you know, grandchildren or something, you know, Aluf Ana, Aluf Disha, Aluf Disha, you know, one of these guys, they say here, Elah Malachim, Shemolchim, come on. I mean, between you and me, one of Esav's, you know, one of his warriors is missing a yud. I mean, come on, the world will go on. What's that? Why is it their puzzle? You have to take the gato, wrap it around, and put it away, get a cycle. Come on! Forget, we make Disha, who cares?
So comes the Ramban,
there's an introduction to Chumash. There's a fascinating insight into this. Basically, what you're saying is poetry. Rabban says that different Torah, the entire Torah from Bereishis to Leinikol Yisrael, is a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a description, it's Chochmas HaLakim. It's the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented to us in this world. It's the essence of the Chochmah, the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the description of Elokus for us in this world. And therefore, even the tiniest Kutzah Shel Yud missing in the name of Dishon is a pogam, is something missing in Hashem's name, and that's not negotiable. There is no difference in significance within a letter. It doesn't matter where it is. The Rambam writes that if a person thinks that a pasuk, let's say, achos lo pantumna, a very important but seemingly significant pasuk. If a person thinks that pasuk is any less important than a mech Hashem lakech, it's a kof from a Torah or not. Every word of Torah, every letter of Torah is the same degree of Pesha Torah. I remember years ago they were raising money to rent a new Sefer Torah in YU. And they were like, many shows do they sell psukim? You know, they'll sell gold for a couple $1,000, they'll sell Shema Yisrael, Az Yosha, Sefer Dibros. And I always found that it was a little bit strange. It almost like it's like giving like, you know, more significance to one pasuk over another. So I said at the time to my shir, I said, you know, it's not really right. I said, what someone should really do is they should offer to spend $1,000 to buy a chos lotan timna. Those three words that the Rambam says, tucked away, you know, in Parshas Vayishlah, that are quote unquote seemingly insignificant, to show that we believe the Kedusha of Torah, every single letter is as important as the next. So about 20 guys were like auctioning, they were fighting out. They couldn't understand why everyone all of a sudden wants to buy a chos lotan. I want to get a kickback from SOY for that one. But everyone all of a sudden wants to have the chavad, you know, the chos lotan timna. Abbasai says the Ramban, Torah is the Shem Hashem. That's a very, very profound lesson. That's significant for us. Abbasai, who remembers not all that long ago? It was about 5 weeks ago. We were davening Yom Kippur. And we reached the point of the davening Yom Kippur, which I always find to be perhaps the most inspirational, the most spiritual, most awe-inspiring and trembling moment is when you get to the Avoda, the description of the Kavanos of Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol cries out the Shem Hashem. And how does he say the Shem Hashem? Mefurash yaitze mipi Kohen Gadol b'kedusha v'tahara. Oh, said the name of Chaim Briska, that when he was saying the Avodah, Davening, and Musaf and Kippur, you look at him and you realize that he wasn't standing in Brisk. He was in the Kedusha Kedusha. His feet maybe were planted in Europe, but his neshama was thousands of miles away. He was mamash with the Kohen Gadol, hand in hand in the Kedusha Kedusha. That's how a person feels when they hear those words. And what's their response? Even the melody is haunting. The only time ever during the year, it's powerful. Just in case you didn't catch it the first time, you do it a few more times. It's powerful. Powerful, powerful. Usually the first time I smash my glasses, then I remember, I have to always remember to take them off when you go down. So the first time gets a little bit distracted. But the second or third, you got the idea. Baruch Shein, Kvei Mechusil, unbelievable. Shein Hashem. Mosek says in the end of Pashas Yisrael, he says in Dibris, V'chol ha-mokam she'er asker ha-shmiya v'alecha v'alecha. Whenever Hashem's name is mentioned, there'll be a tremendous shef of brachos. There'll be a tremendous blessing from up high for anyone who mentions the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that pasuk refers to the Beis Hamikdash. When the Kohen Gadol says the Shem Hashem and Yom Kippur, there's an unbelievable bracha that comes down in the Shemai. And guess what? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos interprets that pasuk in a little bit of a different way. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, how do you know if one person is learning? Night Seder is over, and you're the guy's turning off the lights, and you decided to come back with the Chazer for a few more minutes. You decided to learn an extra couple of lines of the Gemara, you decided to learn next to Mishnah, next to possibly Rashi. One person, nobody else around. Concerning you, the Pasuk says, "B'chol ha'mokam she'asker eshmi v'alech rechticha." My name is mentioned, I'm here, I will bless you. Where's my name mentioned? I'm learning a sugi maseches benachos. What does that do with Hashem's name? I'm learning Shteinbeck v'chatar. Where's Hashem's name? I'm learning a Mishnah, maseches Shabbos. What does that do with Hashem's name? What would the Ramban say to that? We both say. The Baal would respond and say that The entire world of Torah, every world of Torah is Hashem's name. And the same way that the Torah is interlinked with Hashem's name, so too, just as the Kohen Gadol, when he says the Shem Hashem, the Kedusha of Torah, it has to be Kedusha of Torah, the holiness and purity, that brings down an unbelievable Shefa Brachos in Hashemayim that can exist in each and every one of you. Some of you may be Kohanim, I don't know, I'm not a Kohen, but none of you have yet been appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. Afal Bichayim, each and every one of you can become greater than the Kohen Gadol. As I'll say in the Pasuk, Yikarim Pnimim, Batzekel Yishuva, Pnimim is a play on the word, Lefnai Lefnim. The Torah is greater and more dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen Gadol says the Shem Hashem, and he only says Mefurish Yotzei a few times. Every line that you read in your Chumash, every line that you read in your Mishnayos, every Shia that you go to, every Chavus that you have, you are B'chol Mokom HaShe Asker Shia B'Alech B'Echticha. But it has to be B'Kedusha B'Tahara. But if it is B'Kedusha B'Tahara, then you have no idea what Kochos can be. So when you learn the Sugyas of Menachem, so you spend a lot of time on, is the Sefer Torah, there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, don't forget, there's much more than just a mistake in the Sefer Torah. Mistake in the Sefer Torah is a potential lacking in the Shem Hashem, and that's not acceptable. Our job in this world is to make sure that the Shem Hashem is intact, is kosher, is the Kedusha, the Tahara, is Rav, to give each and every one of you a tremendous yet for the Shemayim. No matter what your paths are in life, no matter where you end up, if you end up joining us in Yeshiva Matoy, to be able to continue down the path, the Beis Medrash, that's waiting for you, Rebbeim are waiting for you, Aviraf Torah and Kedusha with Aaron that's waiting for you, to be able to experience B'chol Mokom HaShe Asker HaShemayim B'chol Mokom HaShe Asker HaShemayim B'chol Mokom HaShe Asker HaShemayim this year and the subsequent years, and always remember that by sitting and learning Torah, you are experiencing, you are connecting with the Shem B'chol HaShemayim.